There's nothing better than that. Man's wisdom is not like God's wisdom. And my words are nothing compared to God's word. And so I'm sharing with you the most precious thing I could. I'll share with you several verses here through the book of Psalms. And I believe things that ought to encourage and challenge our hearts this morning. I want to preach to you on kneeling to worship. Kneeling to worship. Let's look here in Psalm chapter 95. And we're going to read from verse 1 down through verse number 6. It says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land." Isn't it a wonderful God, a powerful God that we serve? He created this universe. His hands formed it all. His word spoke and things came into existence. Verse 6 says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." The Lord is our Maker because you know what? He also created us too, didn't he? Adam didn't come from a monkey, you know. God created Adam. God created Eve. God made them. God's our Maker. And God made an incredible universe. Incredible. God made the human body is an incredibly complex thing. That a master designer, a master creator made us so unique and so special. It's amazing. What a God we serve. And that God wants to be worshipped. That God wants us to bow down to him and kneel before him. Let's have a word of prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day that you've made. Help us to rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness in our life and your love and your care over us. Your watching over us. Father, I pray for the Visaya family. You'd bless them in a special way today. And others who we know are hurting and suffering. Those that are physically sick right now or are weary in their life. I pray you'd strengthen them and encourage them. Comfort them. Help them. And God, you're our only hope. You're the great physician. And Father, we trust you for what you're doing and what you will do in the lives of dear people we care about. Father, work in our hearts this morning, I pray. Thank you for this eternal word that I hold in my hands. And Father, speak to my heart and challenge every heart this morning, I pray. Draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Kneeling to worship. We ought to bow in the presence of God. We ought to certainly spend time with God and spend time in his presence. And he wants us to bow to worship him. He wants us to kneel to worship him. Do you know there's a God who created you and loves you and made you unique and special and different from anybody else in this universe? God's creation is so amazing that you know it, that you know no person on the earth has the same fingerprints. Everyone's fingerprint is unique to them. The Bible tells us that God even knows the number of the hairs in your head. So some that are maybe losing hairs, you know what? God keeps track. You know, God knows the number of hairs in your head. The Bible says there's not a sparrow that would fall from the sky. There's not a sparrow that perhaps would die or be hit by some boy's slingshot. Hey, there's not a sparrow that falls to the ground that God doesn't know about it. And God says, if God cares about those sparrows, don't you think he cares about you? He's watching over you. He loves you. God made you, though, unique and special. And because God made you one of his unique creations in this universe, God made you, and we know from the word of God, God made all of us to glorify him. God wants our life to bring glory and honor to him. And if God made you unique and special, then that means there's nobody in this world that can bring that same glory to God or worship to God the way that you can. God wants a unique relationship with you. God wants to spend time with you, and God wants you to spend time with him. You know, God would love for you to get up in the morning and to get alone somewhere where it's quiet and to read the eternal word of God and let him speak to your heart. He would like for you to get in a quiet place alone, a prayer closet, if you will, and be in secret somewhere without distractions, where you'll just spend time pouring out your heart to God. We read that this morning, I think. Perhaps it was, the statement was made about Hannah in our Sunday school lesson, where she poured out her heart to God. Listen, God wants you to pour out your heart to Him. God wants you to spend time in prayer, communing with Him and fellowshipping with Him. And you're unique and your relationship with God. God wants it to be something that brings special glory to Him. We ought to bow in the presence of God, bow to worship Him, kneel to worship Him. How can we kneel to worship the Lord, and how should we worship Him? I want to share with you very quickly this morning five things from the Psalms as I studied this verse and knew the surrounding chapters of, I believe, some ways that we ought to come into God's presence to worship Him. How should we come into the presence of God to worship Him? If we're asked, if He tells us, I want you to, He said there in verse 6, O come. Do you know what O come is? That's an invitation. Oh, come. God is saying, I'm inviting you. Please come. Please come and kneel in my presence. Please come and bow and worship me. Please come and spend that time in prayer and talk with me and fellowship with me. Oh, come. He invites us. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. So God's inviting you. God's saying, I want you to come into my presence. Come into my presence. Let me give you this morning five things quickly. How should we come into His presence to worship? How should we come into His presence to worship? Number one, come into His presence with singing. Come into His presence with singing. Look at Psalm 95 there and verse number 1. It says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. You might think, well, God hasn't given me a very good voice. That doesn't care. The Bible doesn't say, come with a beautiful voice into my presence. He just says, come and make a joyful noise. Noise. If it's joyful, if it's glad, if you got a smile on your face, hey, sing and make noise to God. You don't have to have a beautiful voice. You have the voice that God made you to have. You have the voice that God created you to have. And lift that voice. Raise that voice. I haven't heard it here in our church, but I've been in some churches before where they're, you know, where I've heard and praise the Lord for it. Every time I hear it, I've rejoiced. I've heard a lady before in a church that she cannot sing, if anything. You know what? God made her not to sing, but she sings. You know why? Because she's making a joyful noise. And she sings with great gusto and great enthusiasm. And it's off key and it just sounds horrible to me. But you know what it sounds like to God? Oh, that's beautiful. What a beautiful sound. What a beautiful noise. Listen, whatever voice God has given you, lift it in praise to God. When you're in private and you're in secret there, hey, sing to God. I very typically will try to sing to God. I have a binder that I keep with several songs in it, songs that encourage my heart, songs that make me think about God and want to praise God. And I'll go through those songs, and when I'm wanting to pray or read the Bible, often too, I'll begin reading through some of those songs. And it's not long after I'm reading those that I'm beginning to sing some of those. And it's not long after I'm singing some of those that I'm making up my own songs. I make up a lot of songs early in the morning, and they're good songs. They need to be recorded and so on. But you know what? God loves it. God loves it when we come into His presence with singing. Boy, in that private place, singing in the shower, amen. You ought to sing in the shower, praise to God. You come to church, sing with a joyful noise. He says, sing. Come, let us sing. You come and to church wanting to worship. Well, sing. Lift your voice and sing unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise. Look over in Psalm chapter 100, verse 1 and 2. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Come before His presence with singing. What should we do to worship? Come into His presence with singing. Look back in Psalm chapter 96. Psalm 96 in verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Listen, we'll read just a few verses here, but listen, God is a God who wants you to sing. God created music. The devil has twisted it and perverted it, and there is some music out there in the world that is not good music, that would not honor and glorify God, and that should not be the music that we would listen to. There can be bad music and rock music that can pervert and promote themes of rebellion and immorality. And so, boy, that's twisted and that will pervert your mind. But listen, God created music. And God wants us to sing the type of music that would honor and praise and glorify God. Sing unto the Lord a new song, he said. A new song. When we get saved, there should be some new songs in our hearts, some new songs that we would sing. Psalm chapter 98 there again says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. For he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise. Make a loud noise. You know what? God wants you to sing. You know, I want you in church. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. No, God says, make a loud noise. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I don't care how you do it, but do it loudly. Sing it with praise from your heart. Sing it to worship God. Listen, God wants to hear you sing. Don't be ashamed. Hey, you drive down the road someday and you see the guy in the car next to you and he's there bebopping and he's got his music just cranked up and he's making all kinds of weird things. I've seen, you know, 25-year-olds do that and I've seen 50-year-olds do that and they're there bebopping in their car and they got their music cranked up. Hey, don't worry if you're out there in your car alone someday driving down the highway and you're singing from your heart to God and somebody's looking at you. You know, they stop at the stoplight and they see you singing in your car. Hey, you're praising God and you're singing to worship God. Don't be ashamed of that. Let's sing. Let's make a joyful noise. Let's sing a new song. Let's sing with a loud noise and sing with a loud voice and praise and worship the Lord. We ought to come into his presence with singing. You say, in my heart, I want to worship God. I want to bow to worship God. Sing. Sing. Let it be that in church you sing. Let it be that at home you sing. Let it be that in your car. Let it be that in a quiet place you sing unto the Lord. You should come into his presence with singing. Come into his presence making a joyful noise unto the Lord. You want to worship the Lord this morning. You want to worship God in your life. Don't be afraid to sing. Sing out. Sing unto the Lord. Let it be from your heart. Come into his presence with singing. How should we kneel to worship? How should we come into his presence with worship? Number one, with singing. Number two, we should come into his presence with thanksgiving. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. Again, Psalm chapter 95 and verse 2 said this, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Do you take time to give thanks to God? Even our singing in some verses we read about, it ought to be because we want to praise God for what he's done. Do you take time to just verbally give thanks to God? God, I'm thankful for the freedoms that I have. God, I'm thankful that I could sleep with a roof over my head last night. Thankful I didn't have to sleep out in the rain. Thankful, God, that you gave me something to eat today. God, I thank you for giving me a family. Thank you that I got a family and we're all together and I have a wife and children that love me. Thank you, God, for protecting my life. Thank you for the sins that you've kept me from. Thank you, God, for saving my soul, saving me out of what you saved me out of. And do you stop and take time to give thanks to God? You want to worship God? Listen, come into his presence with thanksgiving. Give thanks to God every morning. Give thanks to God throughout the day. Give thanks to him. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. In Psalm 95 and verse 12, Psalm 97 and verse 12, it says, rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. You know, as Christians, we're to think about what God is doing for us. We're to remember certain things. We ought to remember the holiness of God. We ought to remember the goodness of God. And we ought to give thanks. Are you rejoicing in the Lord? Are you giving thanks to God today? Are you giving thanks to God on Monday and Tuesday? And even through your trials of life, are you giving thanks to God? Take time to remember. Boy, when we go through some difficulties, it may be that, boy, that becomes the focus of our heart and the focus of our mind. And we're not stopping to praise God. We're not stopping to worship God. We need to. If we're not going to be overcome sometimes by some trials or burdens we're going through in life, you better stop and remember God's holiness. You better stop and remember God's goodness in your life. Not everything is down. There are some ups. There's some great ups in your life. Some things that God has blessed you with. Some things that God has done for you. Come into His presence with thanksgiving. Don't come into His presence always complaining or upset with God. Come into His presence with thanksgiving. I guarantee you, you're more likely to get God on your side. You come into His presence buttering Him up with thanksgiving. You go to your parents complaining to them and nagging them and so on. They'll be less likely to help you. Listen, you've got a Heavenly Father who wants to hear your thanks. He likes some appreciation. He likes you to give thanks unto Him. Psalm 100 there in verse 4 says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. How are we going to kneel to worship the Lord? Come into His presence with thanksgiving. Come into His presence with singing. In Romans chapter 1 verse 21, listen to this verse. It says that because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. It says God gave them over unto a reprobate mind. Listen, we're just one step away from having a reprobate mind and being so far away from God. Listen, when we're unthankful, the Bible says that the condition of the people, they glorified not God. They knew God, but they didn't glorify Him as God. Neither were they thankful. Neither were they thankful. When people stop being thankful to God, do you understand something? They'll begin to worship themselves more than the Creator. And you read Romans chapter 1 later, and you see that's really what happened. They begin worshiping the creation more than the Creator. They begin loving self more than they love the Creator. They begin living for themselves instead of living for God. Why? Because when they become unthankful, you know who becomes the God of their lives that they want to worship? Themselves. We become the most important thing in our life. And God just is, He's pushed aside. Listen, we need to be thankful to God. People make their own idols and worship their own gods and start living only for themselves. When they stop remembering the goodness of God and stop expressing that thankfulness to God. That's why God teaches we ought to have to remember His holiness. We ought to take time and think about and remember His goodness in our lives. God wants to be glorified and worshipped through our giving of thanks. Do you get up in the morning and do you have times? Maybe it's not first thing in the morning. If you're like my wife, you're a morning person and you get up joyful and you get up glad. I'm not a morning person. I'm not a morning person. I get up groggy. I get up slowly. I get up needing to get myself washed and have a shower and wake my dead body up. I mean, I'm a dead man in the morning. I'm not a morning person. My wife, she's more likely perhaps to get up rejoicing, get up glorifying God, get up praising God. But you know something, however, you got to do it to make yourself wake up and take some time to stop and think about God and get in God's Word and get in His presence and spend some time in prayer. Listen, it shouldn't be long then if you'll do those things, you'll start expressing some thanks to God. He wants you to take time to give thanks to Him. How can you come into His presence? How can you bow to worship the Creator? How can you bow to worship the Lord our Maker? Come into His presence with singing and come into His presence with thanksgiving. Thirdly, we ought to come into His presence with holiness. Come into His presence with holiness. Remember something, He's a holy God. He's a holy God. Look what the Bible says here in Psalm 96 and verse number 9. Psalm 96 and verse 9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Verse 13. Before the Lord, for He cometh. For He cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with truth. All you need to remember something as you come to worship the Lord, He wants you to come into His presence with holiness. Remember that He is a God who will judge. He's a God who one day is coming back to judge the world. And if we've trusted Christ as our Savior, we understand we're not judged for our sins. We won't be cast in the lake of fire. We will be saved. We'll have a home in heaven. But even those who are saved, the Bible teaches there's another judgment for us. If we've lived our life for God and we've done the works that would please Him, He will reward that. Are we living for Him? Are we living in holiness? Will we stand before God one day when He judges us and we'll live and think, boy, I've got so much regret. I didn't live the kind of life that I should live. I didn't worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. My life was something that, honestly, if it came before God and God's exposing my life, boy, my life was dirty. Boy, my life was unclean. Listen, there's a God who wants us to have a clean and pure heart. There's a God who wants us to have a pure heart and pure motives. Are you worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness? Are you coming to His presence with holiness? Psalm 97 there in verse 6 says, "The heavens declare His righteousness, and all the people see His glory." My God is a righteous God. My God is a holy God. The heavens declare His righteousness, all the people see His glory. And verse 10 there says, "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil." Oh, if you love the Lord, hate evil. If you say that you love God, hate evil. We're to hate sin. So many times we've got a love for sin in our life. We don't want to give up some sin in our life. Listen, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. If we're going to worship the Lord in trueness and in sincerity in our life, well, we need to come into His presence with holiness. Verse 12 there at the end of the verse says, "Give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness." His holiness. Psalm chapter 98 and verse 9 says, Before the Lord, for He cometh to judge the earth with righteousness, shall He judge the world, and the people with equity. Psalm 99 and verse 5 says, "Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at His footstool, for He is holy." Psalm 99 and verse 9 says, "Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." He's a holy God. He's a holy God. Leviticus 19:2 says, "Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Leviticus 20 says, "Ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine." He says, I've taken you out. I bring you out from other people. I make you separate from the world. I sever you from them, because I want you to be different from the world. I sever you from them. I say, come out from among them, be separate. Why? Because I want you to be holy and set apart unto me. I want your life to be brought out of the pit of sinfulness. And I want you to come over here and live a life that is set apart for a holy God. Listen, how can we come into His presence? How can we come to pray and say, oh God, I need you in my life. And God, I've got this request. And God, I think you're wonderful. But yet God, know that in our heart it's just filled with sin. Our life is just filled with unclean things. What do you think God in heaven would be thinking? I don't get it. They say they love me so much. They say they need me so much. And now they're coming. But why don't they want to worship in holiness? Why don't they want to live clean? Why don't they want to live pure? Don't they understand that I sent my Son Jesus to die on the cross, to purchase them, to redeem them, to save them from their sin? Romans 6 says that we should not continue in sin. God forbid. We're to become new creatures in Christ Jesus. We're to begin to live a life that is holy and set apart unto God. Listen, we need to come into His presence with holiness. 1 Peter says, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so ye be holy in all manner of conversation or your way of living, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." 2 Peter 3:11 reminds us that the Lord is coming again soon. And then it asks this question, "What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Remember, we even read it in Psalms, He's coming. When He cometh, and when you're in His presence and He comes to judge, listen, "What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Listen, God wants you to live a holy life. God wants us to live a pure life. Not because that's what saves us, but because He has saved us. In return of what God's grace and what God's goodness did to me, my heart ought to return and say, God, I want to live for You. I want to live a pure life. I want to have a clean heart. I want to get rid of the sinful things in my life. I no longer want those to have the victory over me. I don't want to be a servant of sin. I want to be a servant of Jesus Christ. We ought to come into His presence with holiness. With holiness. How can we kneel to worship the Lord? Come into His presence with singing. Come into His presence with thanksgiving. Come into His presence with holiness. And number four, come into His presence with humility. Come into His presence with humility. In Psalm 95 there in verse number 6, it said, "Oh come, let us worship and bow down." Bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. What has bowing down, what has kneeling, those things have always been a sign of submission. And reverence, a humbling. You would go and kneel before the king. You would go and kneel before a master. You're humbling yourself. We're showing reverence. Listen, there's a God who wants to be shown great reverence. There's a God who wants to be shown great respect. He's our Lord. He's our God. He's our Creator. If you've trusted Christ, and listen, Jesus is your Savior. God has become your Heavenly Father. And there's a God who says, I want you to come into my presence kneeling, bowing down. Will you bow down to God? Will you kneel in a sign of submission? Will you bow down and kneel when you pray, even in a physical sense? Will you bow down and humble yourself before God? Not only in that way, but will you bow and kneel down in your heart? Will you show submission in your heart to God? Can you come into His presence with humility? Can you come into His presence bowing down? Can you come into His presence kneeling? Can you come into His presence humbling yourself and saying, Lord, you're God. You are the Lord. You're the one that's in charge of my life. Will you do that? Again, there in Psalm 95 and verse 6, it says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Verse 7, "For He is our God. And we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart." You know something? He's God. He's God. And we're His people. If He's God, then that means He's in charge. He's supposed to be the one in charge, and we're supposed to submit to Him. Too often we get it mixed up and think, well, I'm in charge of my life. And we all, this is what I want to do, and this is how I want to live, and we really don't care what God thinks. That's not the way it ought to be. If we're going to kneel in His presence, if we're going to have a life that is worshiping God and glorifying God, listen, you're going to have to kneel in His presence humbly, kneel in His presence bowing down, kneel in His presence with humility, submitting yourselves to Him. He's the Lord. He's the one in charge. Are you letting God lead in your life? Are you letting God lead? It makes reference to it there. He's the shepherd. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. He leads us. The shepherd leads us in the way we ought to go. We don't tell Him what to do. In John chapter 10 and verse number 27. John 10 and verse 27. The Bible says this: "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." They follow me. Do we always, are we trying to say, well, I'm in charge of my life, God. You do what I want you to do. No, God's the one to be in charge. He's God. We're the people. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. My sheep hear my voice. And I know that, and they follow me. We're to be following our great shepherd. We're to be following God. We're to be following Jesus Christ in our life. Are you letting Him lead? We ought to bow to Him. We ought to kneel to Him. We ought to humbly submit to Him. How are we going to kneel to worship the Lord? How are we going to come into His presence and worship the Lord? We need to come into His presence with singing. We need to come into His presence with thanksgiving. Come into His presence with holiness and come into His presence with humility. And lastly, I say this, number five, we need to come into His presence believing. Come into His presence believing. Believing. What must we believe? I want you to listen close to me. Listen very, very close. Listen to these verses that we'll read together. What must we believe? We must believe that He is the one and only true God. You must believe that He is the one and only true God. Look at these verses with me. Psalm 95 in verse 3. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, with a small g. Whether it's politically correct or not, it's biblically correct. There is one God. There is only one God. There's only one Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one Savior. There's only one true God. I believe in the God of the Bible, Jehovah God, the creator of this universe, the God of Israel. He is God. There's only one true God. Psalm 96 in verse 4 says this, "For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens." If you're going to worship the true God and you're going to come into His presence and worship Him, you've got to believe there's only one true and living God. One Creator, one God. Believe that He is the one and only true God. Secondly, you need to believe that the Lord will judge man's sin. Notice a verse here with me, Psalm 96. Psalm 96 and verse 9. You must believe that the Lord will judge man's sin. Psalm 96 and verse 9 says, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously." And then in verse 13, "Before the Lord, for He cometh. For He cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with His truth." With His truth. Do you know what the Lord's going to judge the world by? His standard. The truth. The Word of God is the truth. This is the standard that God will judge man by. Can any one of us live up to this standard? No. Not a one of us can be judged by. Not a one of us can live up to God's standard. We can't live up to the standard. We can't live up to the mark. We're all sinners. But you know what? God will come and judge man. He'll judge man by the truth. This is the standard. But you know what? Jesus is the truth, isn't He? The way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. I can't live up to the standard. I can't live up. There's more than just 10 commandments in this book. I can't. I'm a sinner. But I'm glad that because I know the truth, Jesus Christ, in my life, because on June 24, 1981, I trusted Him as my Savior, I was born again into God's family. I was forgiven. I can't be perfect to live up to this standard of truth, but I know the truth, Jesus Christ, in my life. And because of that, I'll be saved. Because of that, I'll have a home in heaven. We must believe that He is the one and only true God. We must believe that the Lord will judge man's sin. We must believe, thirdly, that we have no hope in other gods or idols. We must believe that we have no hope in other gods or idols. I'm sure I've met people before, even our town, that would think, well, yeah, I'll believe in God and I'll believe in Jesus, but I'll also believe in my other God. It doesn't work that way. The God, the creator of this universe, the maker of you, He wants to be worshipped as God alone. You must trust Him alone. We cannot have, well, yeah, sure, I'll believe that He's one of the gods. And He's one of many ways. And yeah, I'll believe in Him as a God and Him as a God. And I'll pray to them all. No, you've got to believe in the one God. Believe that we have no hope in other gods or idols. Psalm 97 and verse 7 says, "Confounded be all they that serve graven images. They that boast themselves of idols, worship Him, all ye gods." In Psalm 97, 9, "For Thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods." We must believe that we have no hope in other gods or idols. We must believe that He's the one and only true God. We must believe that the Lord will judge man's sins. And fourthly, we must believe that God has provided a way of salvation for the whole world. You and I, we must believe this morning that God has provided a way of salvation for the whole world. In Psalm chapter 98 and verse 2, look at it. Psalm chapter 98 and verse 2 and 3. The Lord hath made known His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. You know, there's a Lord who offers salvation. He offers the free gift of salvation. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That gift of salvation can be ours. God provided a way for our salvation when He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross and to pay the penalty for man's sin. It was to take our place, to be our substitute, to die, to suffer hell, to pay the price that we deserve to pay. God's Word, if you'll study it, I pray that you'll hunger and search for it. But it teaches us clearly that we're all sinners deserving of God's judgment. But God in His love sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin so that you could be saved and have eternal life. There's no other way we can be saved. But God made a way for us to be saved. Is God a holy God and will God judge man's sin? Yes, He will. But a loving God provided a way for us to be saved. There's nothing better than that. He made a substitute. He sent His Son, His only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We must believe that He's the one and only true God. You must believe that the Lord will judge man's sin. You must believe that we have no hope in other gods or idols. You must believe that God has provided a way of salvation for the whole world. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation. Psalm 95:1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. We know from the New Testament scriptures that Jesus Christ, He is that rock. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the very foundation of our faith. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. The kids learn. Hey, He's the rock. He's our only hope for salvation. If you're going to be saved, if you're going to have a home in heaven, it's because you've trusted the rock. You've trusted Jesus Christ. And now you're standing on the solid rock. You're standing on Jesus Christ. You're trusting Him as your only hope for salvation. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation. And lastly, I say this. You must believe that God's love and grace and mercy and forgiveness is for you if you'll trust Him to be your Savior. You must believe that God's love and grace and mercy and forgiveness is for you. It's personally for you if you'll trust Jesus as your salvation. God's love is not just, it's for the world. He loves the world. No, He loves you. He loves you. He loves you, Paul. He loves me. God loves you. And God's grace and mercy and forgiveness is for you if you'll trust Jesus. In Psalm 99 and verse number 8, it says, Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them. A God that forgavest them. You know, we have a forgiving God, don't we? A forgiving God. In Psalm chapter 100 and verse number 5, it says, For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting. God's mercy is still for you today. It's everlasting. In Psalm chapter 86, Psalm chapter 86 and verse number 5, the Bible says, Therefore Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. What a wonderful expression. God is ready and willing to forgive. And plenteous in mercy. He's got plenty of mercy to spread around. His mercy is for you, no matter what sins you've done. For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee. Remember what Romans 10:13 said? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, God's plenteous in mercy. God is ready and willing to forgive you of all your sins if you'll trust Christ as your salvation. Psalm chapter 103. Just look at this last verses with me. Psalm 103 and verse number 8. Psalm 103, verse 8 to 14. The Bible says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath dealt with us after our sins." He hath not dealt with us after our sins. He's not given us what we deserve, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." Listen, you need to believe something, that God's love and grace and mercy and forgiveness, it was for you personally. You can be born again a child of God. I understand that some religions would essentially teach that, well, we're all children of God, you're essentially born a child of God. But that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what the Bible teaches. You can study and search the book of John and study the scriptures, and we're not born children of God. We have to be born again to become children of God. There has to be a time in your life where you recognize before holy God, I'm lost, I'm a sinner, and I need you. I need your grace and mercy and forgiveness. And you have to come to the true God whose Son died on the cross and rose again to be a living Savior. And you have to come to Him and seek Him and trust Him. He is the only one that can forgive you of your sin. He's the only one that can pardon. He's the only one that can wash away our sins. You can have that gift of salvation and have eternal life if you will come to Jesus Christ and trust Him and Him alone as your Savior. You need to do that. You need to make that decision. Every one of us does. I had to make that decision. I was a Christian family, if you will. I grew up in a Christian home. I went to church every week of my life and several times a week. I went to a Christian school, but that did not make me a Christian. That did not save me. I had to have a time in my life where I realized I'm a lost sinner and I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I got saved the night that I trusted Jesus Christ. There by my bedside, I knelt beside my bed on a Sunday night, understanding I was lost and knowing I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. I wanted Jesus Christ as my Savior. That night I prayed and invited Jesus Christ to come into my life to forgive all my sins and save me and take me to heaven. You must make a decision to trust Jesus. Listen, God made you to glorify Him. God made you to worship Him. God wants your life to bring worship to Him. How can we do that? How can we kneel to worship the Lord? How can we come into His presence and worship Him? Come into His presence with singing. Make a joyful noise. Sing. In a quiet place where you spend time with God, sing unto Him. When you come to church to worship, hey, sing unto Him from your heart. Sing with a loud noise, the Bible commanded us. Come into His presence with singing. Come into His presence with thanksgiving. You better stop and take time to give thanks to God. Think about His goodness. Remember His holiness. Remember and stop and think about what He's done for you. Think about His goodness and give thanks to Him for it. Come into His presence with holiness. Live a life that pleases the Lord. Come into His presence with humility. Submit to Him. Bow to Him. Kneel to Him. And come into His presence believing. Believe that He's the one and only true God. Believe that the Lord will judge man's sin. Believe that we have no hope in gods or other gods or false idols. Believe that God has provided a way of salvation for the whole world. Believe that Jesus Christ, He is the rock of our salvation. And believe that God's love and grace and mercy and forgiveness is for you. It's for you. For you and for you and for you and for me. It's for anyone who will come to Him, acknowledging we're lost and we're sinful and we need the Savior. We need Jesus Christ. He's my only hope for heaven. But He is my hope. And He's my rock now. And because of the promises of God's Word, I stand on it with great certainty and great assurance and great peace in my heart, having no doubts that heaven is my home for all eternity. And I'm a child of God because of God's many promises. You may need to come to God's presence. You may need to come to Him today and believe on Him and call on Him and invite Him to be your Savior. I encourage you to do that. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your great love for us. You're such a wonderful God, a wonderful Creator. But even more than that, you long to be our Father and for us to be your children. You want us to be saved, born again into your family. Father, if someone does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, if they do not know with complete assurance and peace that heaven is their home, if the things they've heard this morning have challenged and pricked their heart, I pray that they would have the courage to speak to me, to speak to a friend and say, I want that. I want to make sure I understand that. And I want Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to know that heaven's my home. I'm not trusting anything else. No religion, no idol, no false god, nothing. I'm trusting Jesus Christ. I'm trusting God. I'm trusting the Creator. I believe that He's the true and living God. You may have a yearning in your heart that says, I want to know that, or I want to understand that. I long for that peace in my life that He seems to have. Well, we want that for you too. We love you. You may have a Christian friend that loves you and cares about you. And they long for you to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Please speak to us. Let us share the gospel with you of Christ, and you can know for sure that you're saved. You may be here and you're already saved, but maybe God has challenged your heart about how you ought to worship Him. You ought to come into His presence with singing. Unashamedly, unreservedly, praising, singing, loudly, making a joyful noise unto the Lord. They may need to come into His presence with thanksgiving. Maybe you've come into His presence complaining. Maybe you've come into His presence begging for things. He'd like to hear you come into His presence and give Him thanks for His goodness in your life.